As one of the preparedness measures, we helped the country to develop a national contingency plan for Ebola preparedness. And that came to a total of 16.1 million. And as I speak, we have been able to mobilize about 45 to 46% of that. That's about 7 point something million thereabout. And this is what we're using as partners to support government in all these areas which I've highlighted. Now, there's one more area which is critical, which I think I need to mention, is about vaccination. Now, vaccination is also one of the tools, one of the preventive measures that we're using. But this is not general vaccination. It's vaccination targeting people who we think are at high risk. And those are mainly healthcare workers who are at the frontline level. So we're looking at those in the southern part of the country where we have a border, and we're hoping in the next few weeks to vaccinate over 3,000 healthcare workers in those areas against the disease. Now, coming to your question about have we identified cases in the country? No. But we have had a lot of suspected cases. So out of the 16 that we received, out of the 16 alerts that we received, six of them met the case definition. We tested all the six of them, and they were negative.
South Sudan is exceptionally porous, as you did mention earlier, with a high volume of traffic in terms of refugees, business people, and maybe even social ties. Now, how big of a problem is this, and what is the big what is being done to prevent cases from crossing in from the neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo, where there is a massive outbreak?
First of all, let me clarify something that as the World Health Organization, we do not advise countries to close their border. What we advise is that, you know, make sure that you scale up surveillance at the point of entry. And like I mentioned before, we have mapped out all the points of entry into this country. Most of them, many of them are at the, you know, frontline states. Those are the Greater Equatoria. We have mapped them out. Some of them are land borders, some are air borders, and we have also mapped up some other borders which may not be directly linked to there. So we have, for instance, Juba Airport is one of those points of entry. Wau Airport, where we have international flights. So what we have done is to put in place measures to screen people as they're coming in. So when they arrive, we take the temperature. We ask them a few questions, and those who we feel could be cases or who could have something that looked like the disease, then we take them in for special questioning and further tests. As I speak, we have actually conducted over 4,000. We have screened over 4,000 people, you know, coming into the country. So this is basically what we are doing right now.
Okay, before I continue, that over 4,000 people screened, that is in what time frame?
That is starting from about mid-August 2018 up to now.
There were reports of a suspected case in Yei last week.
Yes.
Could you clarify this?
Yes. Last week, I think over the weekend, there was a death in Yei that looked like Ebola. I think the response was swift, and I must congratulate the Ministry of Health and the State Ministry of Health, of course, working with WHO and the other partners. Within 24 hours, we were able to take the sample, get it tested here in Juba. The test we did here was negative, and we sent the sample to Entebbe for further testing to confirm, and also that came back negative as well. So that was classified as not a case.
What support is the WHO providing in the prevention of this disease?
Okay, we are doing a lot. I think most of the issues I highlighted around coordination, surveillance, support to strengthen the laboratory, support to strengthen the points of entry, support to train, build capacity, and of course, the preparedness to conduct vaccination. We are supporting, you know, across, you know, this spectrum, both at the national level and at the state level. As I speak, we have brought in over 20 experts, international experts, and we have also recruited more than 20 to 30 nationals because we believe in building local capacity. So we have recruited them, and we now have Ebola dedicated teams, both in Juba, we have in Ye, we have in Yambio, Nimule, and next week we are going to establish an Ebola dedicated team in Maridi. So we will have covered all of the flood, the high risk state, and these people are working, you know, on a daily basis with the state, you know, task forces to support them, and of course also the national task force. Of course, we have also built a 24-bed Ebola treatment unit in Juba to ensure that if we have a case in Juba, because Juba is populated, we have an international airport here, and we feel it's one of the high-risk areas. So we have also put this in place, and like I said, we are supporting in several other areas.
Okay, so about this facility in Juba, what can the public expect in terms of support?
This facility in Juba is the first of its kind. It is multi-purpose. It is really something that is innovative, in the sense that it can do the whole spectrum. We are going to use it for as a training center. Okay, when we train, we are going to use it to simulate how, you know, to receive an Ebola patient and treat them. If we have an alert, it will serve as a place for us to isolate this alert. If that alert tests positive, it's a place where we can treat. Now, the good news about it is also that it goes beyond Ebola. We can use it, you know, even if Ebola does not occur, we can use it for other diseases like cholera and the measles and the others that are prevalent in the country. And it can be used in the long term for training, for capacity building, and also, you know, for simulation as well.